Go to 2 Peter. No, 2 Peter. You can go to 1 Peter if you want. You just won't be in the same place I will be in. One of the biggest problems, I think, today with everything, as you witness, that's your opinion. I get that all the time. Well, that's your opinion. And I want to prove to you that God has written a book in the case that there are no opinions necessary. And that's what I want to try to show you, that God is not opinionated. God means what He says. And see, that's the problem, because, you know, most churches try to interpret the Bible or try to give you understanding, like, hey, I'm a doctor of theology, therefore I'm so much brighter than you, and you ignorant people, I will let you have some of my bestowed wisdom that I have so grievously worked for. And I'm so brilliant. And that's not what God wants. God wants Bible believers. And so, go to, 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1. It was chapter 1 I was looking for. Quit laughing at me, William. Just remember how many people we see out that way. Yeah. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So people are going to tell you, hey, that's just your opinion. That's how you... And so I want to try to show you a little bit with that in mind. I want to read the next verse too. But I want you to understand that, you know, people are always throwing it, well, that's your opinion. Well, I stopped trying to give my opinion and just read Scriptures. And allow the Bible to say what it says. And that was the hardest thing, because people ask me, what am I? Here's what I am. I'm a literalist. Let me try that again. I'm a literalist. I believe the words literally. I believe they mean what they say, where they say it, to whom they say it to. Does that make sense? And that, well, you don't have to get confused. I mean, you know, if you believe it literally, and you use that consistent pattern throughout. Now, I do believe that there are three modes. You've got a historical mode. And you can talk about the history of Scripture. You all understand? And then there's a doctrinal. And the doctrine has to do with really the literal interpretation. What is it saying to do? And then there's a spiritual application, and so you can make three applications out of any form of Scriptures. But where you get the understanding from is a literal understanding of what the verse is saying. So let's read it again, verse 20. Knowing this first. This ought to be a foundational, absolute no. In fact, you ought to look up the word knowing, or know. There are certain things you ought to know for a fact. Now, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but that knowing is that steadfastness that you can do, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of what? Any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's exactly right. There is no reason to believe that what's in this book, God didn't put there. Go to John 1 verse 1. And while you're on your way, pick up 2 Timothy. Well, yeah, but I mean, exactly. I mean, it would include, absolutely. Where did I tell you? John 1. That's what I went blank there. Sorry about that. No. That's great. See, here's the thing. John 1, verse 1. You guys know the passage well, but just listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... All right, so as you've seen me do numerous times, God equals the Word. If God is true, then the Word is true. Anything you add to this side of the formula, you have to add to that side of the formula. It has to work. If the Word has errors, then God has errors. You got it? Now, this whole thing in John 1 is about the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Now watch. I want to start in verse... Talking about John the Baptist. Verse 8. John 1, 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 14, jump on down. And the Word, notice the capital W, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I believe that the Word and God are one, and I believe Jesus Christ is the Word. Go to 1 John. I believe the words literally mean what they say, where they say it. And that's what you've got to be. You've got to be a literalist. If you're going to be a Bible-believing saint of God, I'm not asking you to believe Barry Hampton. I'm not asking you to listen to my expositories on the verses. I'm asking you to believe the verses. You see the difference? What I want you to do is say, I believe that. You know? In 1 John 5, look if you will, and I'm just going to kind of cut in the context, verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Well, guess who the Word is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I would definitely put John 1, verse 14 there. If I had my Bible pen, I would write that in my Bible. John 1, verse 14. In my Bible, that's what I would write. And I would probably go to 1 John 1, 14 and write 1 John 5, verse 7. Now, the Word are literal. They mean what they say. Where did I tell you 2 Timothy? Thought I forgot, didn't you? Well, there you go. See, I might surprise you one day. Not very often would I surprise you, but maybe you'll get surprised one day. Three, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is the Greek word for like, it's theobretha. It means God breathed. God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, how to become righteous? That's what the Word is for. The Word then literally has to be believed. It is that formula of believing God's Word. And the problem is we haven't heard God's Word too much. We hear a lot about the Bible. But we don't always hear God's words. Does that make sense? I mean, people tell you to repent. That's a word in God's Word. If I went down the way and say, well, what does repent mean to you, Tony? How would they use it? How would you understand that? See, y'all heard that? Let me repeat that. I don't know if you can hear that on the internet. That's something you could help us with. Remind me. I'll forget. Well, we've got these for the audience. We just need to turn the volume up, but they hiss when I preach. It bounces off the wall and hits those, so you get a reverb. So when they're asking questions, if we have someone just lift the volume up on those two mics, one side or the other, then we can get their questions heard on the internet, and that would be convenient. So we may work on that, you know. Where was I? Oh, repentance. So I asked what repent meant, and he regurgitated what all of them have told us it is. Well, go to Genesis. He did. And was God a sinner and repent? You see, we got the interpretation of repented from some Dr. Snodgrass. That's exactly right. In Genesis 6:6, it says, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Well, did God sin? Is he repenting? The word repent literally means to change your mind. Now, did it have to do anything with sin? You could repent of sin, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with sin. But you see how they condition us? When we think of baptism, what is the first thing we think of? You know why? They have conditioned us time and time and time and time again that when we hear these words, instant responses come in. Well, I can tell you that isn't God doing it. That is not the Holy Spirit moving in your life. That's some doctrinal information you got from a man, and you never checked out what God said in the Word. You see the problem? I mean, if you check out God's Word, you say, well, that doesn't mean that. And that was one of the comments you made about Brother Moore, that he uses Scriptures to interpret the Scriptures. Well, that would make sense. We're going to get to that verse. That's right. You want to be able to compare it so you can say, okay, look, I got this. What does it really mean? What is God saying to me? When he says one faith, one Lord, one baptism, what is he talking about and what does it have to do with me? And so you have to start taking it all literally. And go back to 2 Timothy where we were. In 2 Timothy I want to read verse 16 again, then I want to back up a little bit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Well, then the doctrine, then we need to be able to define what is doctrine. Remember, there's three ways you can interpret Scripture. How? Historical, doctrinal, and spiritual applications. You can do that with all verses of Scripture. But the one that really matters is what is God really saying? You want the historical perspective because that's the timeline. That's what lays it out. Okay? The spiritual application, you can make multiple applications out of many verses. And some of them are very good and some of them will fit and work fine. But just remember, when you spiritualize a verse, think of what you're saying. It's a spiritual lie. You got to be careful of that. You understand? So the best way, when you're first starting to study the Bible, is to lay out the doctrinal issues and say, what is God saying literally? In fact, look in Romans 16. Look at what he tells you to do. In Romans 16, he tells you very, very simply what to do. Verse 17. Now listen to what he's telling you to use. You promise you won't get mad at me? You promise? Okay. You're crossing your fingers. You little stinker. Yes, I promise is what he's doing. I'm telling you. Yeah, Renee's over here like, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not going to tell you then. You guys will back up on me. I think the crowd has turned against me tonight. I need some water. I found that gin is clear. Everything that you know. See, people go to churches not because they preach the Word of God. They go because they like the building, the service, the choir, the robe, the sound, the music. They're networking for their own business. Very few go there. I'll give you an example. And see, this is what gets people mad at me. Because I know why they're going to churches. I mean, listen, the reason you're here is because you're interested in the Word of God. That's it. Hey, what else are you going to have? Like Deborah says, you got Barry. Oh, boy. You know? It only took her a year. You know, it took William 3, so, you know, I don't feel bad for Deborah at all. I had a next-door neighbor, and she said, well, I go to one of the big churches here in town. I'm talking big church now. And I said, why are you going? She said, well, I love the choir robes. And I said, well, I thought you were raised Baptist. Yeah, but they have such a friendly group of people and they have coffee shops everywhere. And I said, but what, they don't believe the same as you. Well, we're all kind of believe the same. Well, no, they don't. That's why they have different names outside. Y'all understand? I thought to myself, isn't that amazing? The reason to go to church isn't the choir robes. The reason isn't the programs. The reason to go to church is, am I learning the Word of God and am I developing my faith inside myself? That's why you go to church, guys. Well, look what he says in Romans 16. And if people did this, this room would be full. I'm telling you, if the people did this, this room would be full. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and what? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? Bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the what? You know what the simple don't have? They don't have the doctrine. They don't know what's going on. If you went up to an average person that you know, how many have done this since they've been here? Gone to somebody and said, hey, do you know who your apostle is? Anybody got the right answer? It's amazing. That ought to be a kindergarten question when it comes to your faith. I mean, it's not stated one time, it's like stated 20 times. He's the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the minister of the Gentiles. He's the preacher of the Gentiles. He's this of the Gentiles. Of, you know, on and on. I mean, he says it in so many different ways that you ought to get it. How come people aren't getting it? And then you ask about baptism. Well, should you be baptized? What do you think most people would say? Yeah, sure. In what? Water? And they've never studied it out. They don't know. Well, see, that's what these people are. They're simpletons. And they just go along. Don't do that with your faith, folks. It's going to come to a test time. You're going to take a final exam. Don't you understand? It is not going to be a faker outer. It's going to be for real. Don't you want to have the right answers? Don't believe Barry Hampton. Believe the King James Bible. I'll try to preach to the best of my ability, but even if I'm wrong, you believe the King James Bible. You believe the Word of God above all things. It is the final authority. It is the Word of God. It is what you use to build your faith up. It is the doctrinal issues that you should be concerned with. Say, why do I go to Grace Bible Church? Because the doctrine there is as good as I can find anywhere in Montgomery. That's why you should be coming here. The doctrine of the Bible is being taught there. That's why I go to that church. Shouldn't come here because he's good looking. I know that's a temptation for many of the women in here. I understand that. I'm humbled by that. I'm totally, you know, yes.
What scripture, a long time ago you had told me some scriptures to point out when people say, well, why the King James Bible? And you gave me some scriptures to say why this King James Bible is
That is a whole nother message. But just since you, this is that she wants one too. Let me get her one. Hang on. Well, we got one. Make copies. I don't know either, but I just gave away two of them. You may need to make two more. Stuff is going out. Aren't you praising the Lord for it? That's your little ministry. Doesn't that feel good? Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, those are the omissions out of the other versions of the Bible. And let me tell you, you take that down, it will start to blow your mind. I'm just telling you. But this sermon's not about that. All I want to get across in this sermon today is that the Word of God is literal. It means for doctrinal reasons. You test everything based upon doctrine. The reason you should be coming to Grace Bible Church isn't because the preacher's so good looking. You should come because the Word of God is taught right. That's it. There isn't any other reason other than maybe Mary's good coffee. And outside, maybe Norm's donuts on Sunday. No, outside of that. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all understand? And it's the doctrine that builds and establishes your faith. That's what builds you up. Go to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, look if you will in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you know about the Word of God, the more your faith increases. The more established you will be in the Word. I doubt many people, and I'm not saying this egotistically. I mean, there's some people a lot smarter than me. You all understand? But there'd be very few in Montgomery. That could probably outrun me in the Word of God. I'm not saying they're prideful or with ego. But I study people. I crack open the book. I'm pouring it on. I'm trying to figure out what the doctrine of baptism is all about. You know how many times I've studied the doctrine of baptism? Personally, 20 to 100 times. Somewhere in there. Say, wait, hold it. You should already know it. I'm just making sure I've got it down. I'm thinking of every aspect. I'm listening open-minded to the verses. Why? It isn't going to change what the Word of God says. Is that, am I hearing the Word of God correctly? You all understand? Very important. Why? It's the Word of God that I have to take literally. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. In interpretation and where it gets a little sticky. Sticky. Can you say sticky? Oh, well, I think that's what we're talking about. Absolutely. You know, I think that is exactly... Well, I'll give you an example of one that came up that was here that I think I could answer. But let me give you... One just to think on. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, do I understand everything in the Word of God? No, I don't. Do I believe everything in the Word of God? Yes, and that's the important thing. I don't have to understand it all. God has never called you to understand it all. That's not what He wants. God wants you to believe it all, and your understanding will increase. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is increased as you hear the verses and you see it. Now, I did have, I was at Arts with my piano lessons, and I'm sitting there talking to Brandon, a bass player and a drummer. That'd be nice. So, but she was there with me and hammering with it, and we were talking, and, you know, she said, you'll turn that mob a little, hey, you'll check it out. That's what you got to do. Now, I'm just going to give you an illustration of meditating on one verse. Then I'm going to give you an illustration on if all you hear is a one verse deal on the second example. Go to 2 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to start, verse 2 is the one I want. But I'm just going to read down to it from verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the... whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now, what does that mean to you?
He said he didn't know if he was... saved or not saved.
Now, but could he be saying this? Watch this. Whether in the body, I can't tell you. Or was he saying, I couldn't tell myself whether I was in the body or out of the body?
I was taking it as he was saying he couldn't tell himself.
That's a little confusing, isn't it? You have to meditate on those things. Now, I'm of the personal opinion after meditating upon them, but it can go either way. You understand that verse could be easily interpreted either way. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. I can't tell you. Or, I didn't have any understanding of whether I was. It could be either or. You all understand? So you have to understand other verses along with it. You all understand? Now I know that what he got was the furtherance of revelation,
right.
And I believe he couldn't tell you at that time.
Right.
He knew whether he was in the body or out of the body, but he couldn't tell you. Because he was given words that were unspeakable. Mm-hmm. You all understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at it again. I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Those unspeakable words were later related to the mystery of the gospel, which is that Christ died for all men. You understand? Yes.
The G factor.
The G factor. Very good. That is exactly right. But now he didn't reveal it right away. He held that thing secret from Acts chapter 14 to at least Acts chapter 22. He couldn't tell. God wouldn't permit him to tell. Now, it can go either way. And would I argue with you over that? No. Wouldn't it be that big of a deal? But you're talking about meditation? Now, look at Elaine. She's thinking about it now. Well, which one is it? It's hard to tell, isn't it? Without any other basis of Scripture, that verse is very, very difficult. Do you have to understand it? No. What do you have to do?
Believe it.
Now, that's an example, Carlton. I think that, you know, I've meditated on that verse for years. That's a tough verse. It can go either way. Sometimes verses are that way. Now, let me show you another way that they deceive you in doctrine. Go to Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. If this is all you ever heard, see, there's two ways of deceiving you, is making an improper literalization of Scripture, and the other one is only giving you part of Scriptures that you want them to see. Y'all understand? If I don't give you all the Scriptures and only give you one part of it, and that's all you ever hear, what are the chances if you think you're going to know anything else?
That's like taking a verse out of context.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking a verse out of context.
Slim to none.
Slim to none. And as long as I'm your authority, being the preacher, you know, Dr. Reverend, the Reverend Wright Hampton, you know, all that. As long as I'm your authority, you have to believe what I say. But if you're a Bible believer and you believe the Word of God and say, well, okay, I hear this verse. Let me go home and check it out. Let me think upon it. Let me see what other verses I can find in the concordance. Let me consider all the verses and then make a decision. Now, I want you to think back. How many in here have been baptized? Okay. Why were you baptized?
Thing to do. I thought it was the right thing to do.
Why did you think that? Because they told you it was.
Right.
Did you ever think, well, I wonder what God says about this idea?
I didn't think that then,
though. You see, we didn't think like that. None of us did.
And
so, thus, we've gotten into bad doctrine. That's the point. That's how it works. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We word it because they said it over and over and over again. Elaine, you said you got baptized. How old were you?
The first time. I was
about
nine.
Nine? Okay. Why'd you get baptized?
I was taught that that's what you did when you got saved. It was a
testimony.
Testimony to show that you're walking in the newness of life. You're burying your sins. Represents
yeah.
Christ
and
being that, born, and then.
And we all heard that, right? That's right.
Ask
okay. And the second time, why'd you get baptized? Since you were already walking in newness of life.
Because. If Baptist church, you know, it's like your slate's wiped clean, and then you start sinning again. Oh my goodness, I'm sinning again, and I sinned again, and I sinned again, and I had to repent.
Oh, we got to that repentance thing.
Yes, because I had rectified my sins, so I had to get those new sins forgiven.
Oh, got it. Right to that.
Yeah.
All right, Mac.
Acts 2:38.
Well, that That's right. You got, hey, man, here's the verse. This is why I did it. Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent. Well, this is why she was talking about repenting and getting cleaned up. It was the same thing. Right. Two different churches. One Baptist, one Church of Christ. This is where they got it from. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
I didn't get that, man.
You didn't get that?
I didn't get that.
Well, then you didn't get the right baptism, brother.
You see, the thing about it is...
Did you get the Holy Ghost when you got baptized?
Sure. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit.
No, I meant when you got water baptized.
No.
Could you speak in tongues?
No.
Well, then you didn't get it, because look at Mark 16. Now, I'm going to start driving you into another doctrine, and this is what they do. And unless you know the doctrine, guess what? You're at their mercy. You're at their mercy. You have subjected yourself to believing a system or a man. You know what I would recommend you doing? Believing God's Word. Right. And learn how to study to show thyself approved.
Right. Yeah, but see, now you need that's had nothing to... For me, it wasn't speaking in tongues because my denomination didn't...
That's right. They taught you. But here's the doctrine of it. Now watch. I'm just going to give it to you. Verse 16, Mark 16, 16. Y'all there? Some there, some not. What? Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? What happens if you're not baptized? You're not saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Well, I can check whether you got the Holy Ghost.
I did.
They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, everybody, it shall not hurt them. You want to try to see if you got it?
No, that's in North Carolina.
See, there's a test for the faith.
That's right.
They may not have told you when you got Acts 2:38 that you got all this too. Well, I know the Church of Christ doesn't believe that you can talk in tongues and stuff, but the Pentecostals do. Well, but they don't drink any deadly thing. I mean, I've tried to give some of them deadly things, and they won't drink it, trust me. The point that I'm making is they don't believe it literally. But you know why? They know that doesn't fit for them. They know that when they got saved, they weren't able to raise the dead. They weren't able to heal the sick. They weren't able to speak in tongues. They weren't able... I mean, they had to teach Wayne how to speak in tongues. All right, we're having tongue speaking class at 7 o'clock. No, that's my point. So what happens? Well, we don't know. But we trust them and we feel like they're right. And no one's ever showed us the doctrine of baptism. And so we just go along with them. Whatever they say. And like Elaine said, well, it didn't work. I must need it again. And there's been some of you guys got baptized 3 times, I know. My father got baptized in the Pentecostal church, the Methodist church, and the Baptist church, just in case any of them were wrong.
That's because each denomination feels like they're right. And they, you got to
debate. But you know what? You can absolutely know the doctrine of baptism.
That's right.
You can absolutely know it. 100%. Now, you may not know everything about baptism. Because I've been studying it 20, 100 times. I studied a lot. Wrote papers on it. Do I know everything about baptism? No. But I know the doctrine of baptism. What it's for. Why it's there. And which one is ours. Now, one last thing on baptism, and I'll end on it, only in the sense of go to Matthew chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Matthew 6, Matthew, did I say 3? 3 is what I want. And Ephesians chapter 4. That's what threw me off. I'm like, what are they saying? You need glasses, brother. You're old. Women get it much younger, I understand. They can be in their 30s and need glasses. That's what I heard. Ephesians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 3.
Thank you.
Now, Matthew 3. You guys are tough. This is a tough crowd here tonight. I have really felt bad all day today.
You did a good job.
I mean, bad.
Matthew 3.
But I feel good right now, and I'm just thankful because I know as soon as I step out of the pulpit, I'll probably feel bad again.
You know you want to feel good the rest of the night.
It's amazing. I have preached with 103 temperature, and for the hour and a half that I preached, I felt perfect. As soon as I got out, I felt like I was going to collapse. I don't know what it is. It's very fascinating. All right, John 3. Y'all there? I mean, Matthew 3. Just seeing if you're on your toes. Did you get it? Matthew 6. No, I'm kidding. Matthew 3. Now watch this. Verse 6. And were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John the Baptist baptized with water. Amen?
Amen.
But he didn't follow Jesus in believers' baptism because it was before Jesus ever showed up. Hello? Didn't get taught that in Sunday school. Let's try it again. Come on down. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water, talking about John the Baptist, unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to write that in your Bible's edge, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
And with fire. Verse 16. And when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. On and on. He got baptized in water. You with me? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. How many baptisms were there in Matthew?
Three.
Four. John the Baptist. Jesus baptizing in the Holy Ghost, Jesus' baptism with fire, and then his personal baptism. Isn't that four? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, I just named four. Is that one baptism listed there at all? Okay, that's not a trick question. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Was that one baptism
included in the four?
No. In those four in Matthew?
No.
You see the problem? It isn't included in the Holy Ghost. It isn't included in the fire. It isn't included in Jesus' baptism. And it isn't included in John's baptism. That one baptism, if you want to know, is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. That's what you need to write there by Ephesians 4, verse 5. It's the only one that Paul talks about, and it is the only baptism in the Bible that can regenerate a person, give him eternal life. It's the only one. And it has nothing to do with water. Look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Now, when you start to understand the doctrine of baptism, I can name about 12 baptisms, depending on how you divide it. And I'm okay if somebody goes, well, I only see 11 or I see 13. That's okay. That's not that big of a deal. The bigger deal is to get which one is right for us today. Verse 13. Here's the baptism for you in the church, the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. Who does this baptizing?
Holy Spirit.
Into one body. What are you plummeted into?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Spirit takes you. Now think about, people say, well, isn't that the same thing as in Matthew chapter 3? No. And He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Here, one Spirit baptizes you into one body. Does that sound like the same?
No.
It isn't the same. Do you understand? Who's the baptizer here?
Christ.
What are you being baptized into? Over here, who's the baptizer? And what are you being baptized into? Into the body, the church. Two different baptisms. Now, once you get the doctrine, and this is not a training again on the doctrine of baptism. That's not my point. My point is for you to know the Bible means what it says. You have to believe it literally. Because Paul says one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But Paul mentions numerous baptisms in his own preaching. But only one of them is for you. And then you can determine. You know what that's going to do to your faith? It's going to make it grow. It's going to establish you. It's going to root you. It's going to make you where you can't be just thrown about. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. That's right. See, the whole point of the preaching of the Word of God, and the reason we turn to hundreds and hundreds of verses over hundreds and hundreds of days, is so that you can get the hundreds and hundreds of verses in your mind. And you can make the debate. You can argue the points. That's why I tell you to write down chapters and verses on the side so that you can make sure that you have it when you're out and about. Now, is that your Bible pen? Have you got it open? Yeah, you should keep it sealed when you're not using it.
It'll dry out.
It'll dry out. You're welcome. See, we even tell you how to help you use your pen, not just your Bible.
But when you live so fast, you're constantly writing.
It needs to be real easy, that thing.
Yeah, tips are... You bend the tips, and all of a sudden, it's like a wobbly duck. You know, it's kind of like your tip will go around in circles.
Yeah, yeah.
I just had to throw one away.
Yeah. Yeah, 6,000 down the drain.
Hey.
No.
That's not totally down the drain. Seven, but who's counting?
Oh, there it is.
Huh? Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all there?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch. I'm going to start in verse 11. And He gave some apostles, for you the Apostle Paul, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, which I am, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For what reason? Till we all come into the unity of the what?
Faith.
Faith. The unity's already been made. We just need to come into that understanding together.
Right.
Of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, here, for what reason? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every... You can get it! You don't have to be tossed to and fro. I'm not sure what it is I believe. You know what? If you say, look, I don't know what it is I believe about this subject or that subject, that's fair. But here's the thing. Don't stay ignorant. Why would you stay ignorant?
Well, I did not been dumb.
I'm from Alabama.
Ignorant
bliss. Ignorant bliss. I'm done. I don't really care. I go fishing some. I like fishing a lot. But you know what? Listen, the final exam will not include fishing. Y'all understand? The final exam is going to be on this book. That's all your life is. Your life is going to come to a sum total of what you got out of this book and believe it. That's it. You go beyond that, there isn't anything else to your life. For all eternity, what you believe in this book will matter. It is. You say, well, my job is. Trust me. If they don't like you, they're going to fire you. They don't even really like you now. They quit giving gold watches out. Have you noticed that?
That's right.
Your 401k is a 101k. They don't care about you. They'll throw you off like a cheap used prom dress before you can even think twice.
Subtracting Social Security from you, why they tell you, you're not getting any.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take Social Security from you, and we'll give it to you if we think you deserve it.
It's your own money, too.
Yeah, it's your own money.
And you have no option.
Isn't that unbelievable? Hang tight. Wait till health care comes. Everybody's going to get that. We're going to get health care. I'm going to be healthy finally. Listen to me. The only thing that is going to matter at the summation of all of your life is the doctrine that you got down. You know what you ought to do? Study. Hey, what is it that I believe about baptism? Mac, why don't you tell me what you believe on baptism?
There's one.
Show me.
It's by the Spirit.
You see, hey, listen, I want you to get it where it's chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. You know why? It's your faith. Well, I know you can do that. I that's why I call on Mac. I was hoping he'd do it. I was going to call on William, and then I thought, well, you know, he can quote it. Yeah. Don't ask him for a 30-minute sermon. Man. That brother, you know what that was? That was a few years stored up wanting to preach really bad. I didn't realize he went. I'm going to have to put him in the pulpit more often so he'll get the steam out a little bit. Hey, the whole idea is to get the doctrine down. Chapter and verse. Can Gene get it down? Yes. Can Carlton get it down?
Yeah.
Can Renee get it down?
Absolutely.
You'll get it down.
I quote like words, but I forget, like, I can't quote chapter and verse.
All right.
I like quote the words or what it says, but I can't quote where it says.
All right. But,
it's just like my brain is that old when it comes to that.
That isn't true. But let me tell you, I can prove that that's not true. How many sharps are in the key of G?
Three. No.
Huh?
F, C, and G.
No, it's just one.
One.
F sharp.
See?
You're right. Bad point.
I'm old.
She's old. You gotta excuse her. She's got a 3-year old now.
Well, you didn't ask me that.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, the key of C has how many sharps are flats?
None.
You know that. Once you know that, you know it. You understand? And it takes a while to get to know that. I've been doing piano lessons, and it's doing that repetition. I get in and she says, run the scale. No, 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 no. Dun, 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 dun. You play the cadence, you know, dun, dun. And then run, na, 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 na. Dun, dun. All right, left, and na, 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 na. And you do that over and over again. Once you got that, it's ingrained in your heads and becomes second nature. I mean, if you ask me who my apostle was, I'd say Paul. Romans 11, verse 13, Romans 15, verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, on and on. I could just, why? It's second nature to me. Why? I went out and heard it. And one of the things that would help you guys tremendously, and I'm going to recommend this. I'm out of time, and I want to respect your time. But one of the things that will help you is if you'll invite me to go out and talk to your friends. I'll go. And listen to me. I'll say the same thing when you say. Why are you saying the same thing over and over and over again? And you know what? If you said it as many times as I said it over and over and over again, guess what would happen to you? You get it down. It's just impossible. It's just like running scales. Eventually, you're going to get it. That's what my piano teacher says. You're still going to get it. I said, are you sure you can teach an old dog new tricks? She says, you're going to get it.
Did you do flashcards or just reading scripture in the beginning?
Well, that's a good point. When I first got saved, Brenda and got married, which happened about four months. Well, I got saved in August. We got married in November, however long that is. When we got married, she would make me up flashcards, and once a week I would take one flashcard with one scripture and memorize it. And it'd be something we'd been studying on. And so I would tape it on my car window, and as I drove to work, as I drove about 30 minutes to work, I would memorize it. And I did that, and I shared it with people. I tried to share that verse with people that day. You know, and nobody had to tell me that that's what I should be doing. I just did it because I was interested. You know, I can tell you. I played for Mac a little of the piano. I want to play piano. I have a desire to play. Will I ever be a Mozart? I don't have a desire to do that. This is what I have a desire to. I have a desire to play to give God the glory. I want to be able to play hymnals out of the hymnal anytime I want to open the page and play that song. Now, I have a desire. And I can tell you that desire, if I live long enough, will be fulfilled. Because I will work at it until it is accomplished. When I got saved, I had that same exact desire, and it's never left me. I wanted to be the best in the Bible I knew. And I studied like that. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know what He was up to. I wanted Him in my life. I wanted to think about Him all day. I was so grateful. And so I started with easy verses, like Romans 11, verse 13, for I'm not, you know, Romans 10, 9, you know, easy verses that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And those verses have meant something to me, and my salvation and stuff were the ones I started with. But that desire has never, ever left me. I don't want to be a car salesman. I don't want to be a network marketer. I do those things to support what I love to do, which is preaching the Word of God. That's all I've ever wanted to do. Y'all understand? And when you get that much desire in your heart, and you get that much desire in your life, listen, all the other stuff is just junk. Don't you understand most of your life is filled with nothing but junk? I mean, if you piled it all up and you put it up in the thing, it'd be a pile of junk. When I'm at home, I'm studying Scripture. Or I'm practicing the piano that I might one day play a song for the Lord for the congregation. You know? So, well, I've got talent. Why don't you use whatever you've got for the Lord? And here's what I suggest. Turn it up a notch.
That's right.
If I can't memorize, you're not trying to memorize.
That's right.
You can do whatever you want. I remember Larry, and he'll testify to this. Larry came to me and said, I can't remember diddly squat. You can't. And he's over there quoting scripture left and right.
I said the same thing.
And he said, we all said it.
I kept reading.
You just hear it over and over. Eventually it starts to sink in and you start to get it. I can't tell you when you'll get it all.
Nope.
All I can tell you is it's a worthy pursuit.
Right.
You know what the Bible says? This is what it said. Now, I should have looked this verse up. He said, buy the truth. And sell it not. It's an investment. Buy the truth and sell it not. Man, listen. When all eternity come, whatever you have in truth, it's not all the books you've read, that has nothing to do with it. It's not all the sermons you've heard, it has nothing to do with it. It's the truth that you hold that will matter. And you know what? That cup is very, 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 very small for most people. It's a thimble. And you could literally have a bowl full.
That's right.
if you wanted it. Would I inspire you? Man, I'd inspire you to memorize verses.
That's right.
I'd inspire you to go to, man, Carlton says, where can I see Brother Moore? Hey, I'd go on YouTube. You know what I'd be? I'd be on YouTube every night, at least one sermon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. I'd get me an education. I'd pour it on. I would say, man, I want to be the smartest in the Word of God that I know. You know why? Your little son needs your help. He's going to depend upon your faith. Your faith isn't very good, then his faith isn't going to be very good. Your faith is built on sand, his faith will be built on sand. You know how I know? I did exactly what my daddy did. He was a Methodist. Guess what I joined? Guess what church I joined? Your daddy was a?
Baptist.
What church did you join?
Baptist church.
I mean, and you know what? Now I would never have my kids join a church. I'd have them believe the Word of God.
That's right.
And that would make a difference in their faith.
That's right.
Boy, I've made a lot of mistakes. You don't want to make that one. You all understand?
Mm-hmm.
So my inspiration to you, yes, get memory cards up. Little, start with little verses. Jesus wept, John 11:35. You don't have to start with big ones, start with little ones.
Proverbs 23:23.
Yeah. You know, and on and on. Just get them memorized. And then meditate upon them and study on them.